Daniel chapter 10, hear now the word of our Lord. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time anointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had an understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, for I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again, and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then he said, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Gracia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Amen.
I want to have a lesson this morning on principalities and powers, because these principalities and these powers are mentioned throughout all of scripture. And while Israel was on the scene and the kingdom of God, the angels were spoken of often with regard to the kingdom. But once you enter the realm of the mystery, in Paul's later epistles, the angels are either ignored or set aside, and the chief rulers of the angels, which are principalities and powers, take their place in importance over the angels. The Greek word for principality is arche, and its translation is really quite strange. 40 times the word that is translated principality is translated beginning. Only 8 times is it translated principality. Once it's translated rule. Once it's translated first. Once it's translated first estate. So with that word principality, the idea of a first or a former authority takes shape. And this, of course, was not in Genesis 1:1, unless, of course, there was an earlier creation, because the angels themselves were also created. So we can see that these principalities and these powers come from sometime a long time ago, as do the angels. And so first this morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 13. And you're going to be using your Bibles a lot this morning. I have a lot of verses that we need to take a look at with regard to these principalities and powers. They are definitely something to be considered. Romans chapter 13, page 1687. Chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Earthly delegated authority and higher rule are not independent of these powers. Earthly delegated authority is a shadow of these spiritual powers that exist. The problem is some of them are good and some of them are bad. We find this, of course, in our own delegated authority and powers. We find some politicians that are good, some that are bad. We find actually the best form of government is dictatorship, if in fact you have a good dictator. So earthly delegated authority and higher rule are not independent of the spiritual powers and principalities that exist in the Scripture. They seem to go hand in hand. And a good example of this we see in that chapter that Dave read in Daniel 10, where in this chapter there was this power, this angel, this hierophant, as it were, came to Daniel, and the prince of Persia and Greece withstood him for 21 days and kept him from coming to Daniel with the message for the latter days. And finally, Michael, the archangel, had to step in. And of course, this angel that was to come to Daniel, he was so powerful himself that he made men quake and go blind and run and hide. And yet there was a principality and a power that kept him from coming to Daniel until Michael finally came to his aid. And so all through Scripture we see these powers, these principalities that exist. And in some cases they're sinister, and in some cases they're good. And this sinister world power, these things that exist, is built into the very fabric of Paul's epistles, except for one. We don't find it in the book of Philemon, but we find it in all the rest of Paul's writings with regard to these principalities and powers. Today I want to take a look at 13 different scriptures with regard to these powers, because they were there when Paul was writing his epistles, and they are still our foes today. In these 13 verses, we'll find information about these principalities and powers. Who are they? What are they? Where are they? And so the first one that we want to look at is Satan himself, who is constantly frustrating Paul's ministry and missionary work. If you will, turn first to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's on page 1745. It's just over a few pages from where we were there in the book of Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in that 12th chapter, go down to verse number 7. And Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And so we find Satan here buffeting Paul with a thorn in the flesh. Don't ever discount the power of Satan and these other principalities and powers that exist. We find also this same Satan frustrating Paul. If you go, turn over to 1 Thessalonians, page 1790 in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 18 of that chapter. "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And so Satan is a very real person and a very powerful one. And we see in these two places where Paul himself was hindered by Satan. There is the mystery of lawlessness, which Paul at one time believed to be on point of open rebellion against God. And we find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a few pages over, page 1796. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So here's another example of this power that exists. Another example is found in Galatians chapter 4, back up to page 1754. Galatians chapter 4. "And both Jew and Gentile have been held bondage by these powers." Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. "Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage," or slavery, "under the elements of the world." Reference to these principalities and powers that exist. The same thing in Colossians chapter 2, page 1783. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So here we see that Christ is and was the head of these principalities and powers. Doesn't mean they're all good. Doesn't mean they're all believe or pay attention. But he was and is the head of these principalities and powers. Paul points out that there is the God of this age who has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not behold the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. We find this in 2 Corinthians, page 1733. So back up to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That God of this world is these principalities and powers that exist. And they blind us, those that believe not. And how do they blind us? I think it's just from a lot of different things. They were blinded by all of the things of this world, everything from Hollywood to sports to movies to politics to education, jobs and careers. And there's nothing wrong with these things in themselves. But when they get in the way of what the truth actually is, they blindside us to that which God has for us in His Word. And so these principalities and powers are subtle, like Satan was subtle with Eve, and blind us to the truth. There is the ruler of the authority of the air, who is described as the spirit now at work among sons of the disobedient. Turn over to page 1762, which is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in the trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here's reference to these powers again that are working within the children of disobedience. We find another reference in Acts chapter 7, page 1594. Acts chapter 7, page 1594. And this one is strange to me. In that seventh chapter of Acts, verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Here we see that these angels or these powers that exist actually had disposition of the law. They received and administered law. That was until the promised seed would come. And so you begin to see that they have a certain place, and they've had a certain authority, and they've had a certain existence and a certain thing that God apparently had created them for. There are the principalities and authorities that Christ triumphed over on the cross and at resurrection. In Colossians chapter 2, page 1784. Colossians chapter 2, page 1784. Chapter 2, verse 14. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So at the cross, apparently he defeated some of these. In spite of this defeat, these powers are still operative, and we must wrestle with them. We find that in Ephesians, back up to page 1770, which is just a few pages back. And I think you probably all are very aware of this verse in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, for verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All throughout Scripture, we continue to find reference to these powers. These powers still hold the whole creation in bondage to futility, though they cannot separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, page 1680. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." So here again, there's reference to these powers, whatever they are. But the day will come when they will yield to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Page 1722. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet." Again, reference to these things. Now, this is not Paul's only word on the subject of these powers. The rest of the story is that Paul came to understand eventually that they were created beings for Christ. They were created in and for Christ. Whether they were in being thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities, whatever, they were created for Christ. Colossians chapter 1, page 1782. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Look across the page to chapter 2, verse 10. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So Christ is the head of these things. Some of them good, some of them bad. But he is the head, and they were created for him. It was God's purpose. Look at verse 20 of the first chapter. "It was God's purpose that they should be or could be reconciled to him by the blood of the cross." Chapter 20, or chapter 1, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven, things in earth, or things in heaven. So, all things, including principalities and powers, could be reconciled by the blood of the cross to him. And an interesting question, and one that I've asked Dave Bickle and I've asked others that have been here to teach, do these principalities and powers have a second chance? Can they repent? Some of them left their estate not knowing about the cross of Christ. Will they have a chance to repent? Ephesians chapter 3, back up to page 1764. Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 10, or chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church of the manifold wisdom of God. So here we begin to see the purpose of the church of the one body, to make known the manifold wisdom of God to these principalities and powers. Now there's a lot of other phenomenon about these things throughout Scripture. One is that they are the chief rulers among the angels. They seem to have political power, not only before the creation, but even since. They seem to have political power. If you look in the Septuagint, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, you'll find that their numbers were that which determined the boundaries of Israel. You don't get that in the Authorized Version, but if you read the Septuagint, you see where their numbers determined the boundaries of Israel. They, for some reason, have power. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. You want to jump over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Page 1824. Verse 6 in chapter 1. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. All the angels of God include the principalities and powers that are there to rule the angels. They were made, like we, to worship him. Another thing that's interesting is that they can sing and that they can shout. When the foundations of the world were fastened and the chief cornerstones laid, they sang. Job. Go back to Job, page 713. Job, page 713. Chapter 38. Starting with verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line of it upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars are angels, principalities, and powers. Stars are always a figure of angels in the heavens. So they're strange creatures. They have power. They have authority. They saying they have a free will, just like you and me. They can believe God or not believe God. When Satan fell, some fell with him. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 2. Jump over to 2 Peter, if you can find 2 Peter chapter 2. Page 1866. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So some of them fell. Even though they were created by God, created for God, created for a purpose, created to worship Him, some of them fell like Satan. They created the catabole of Genesis 1-2, along with Satan, the overthrow of the world that then was. The interesting thing is that they will have no power in the world to come. Back up in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 2. Back a book or two. To Hebrews chapter 2, page 1825. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. So they are not going to have any power at some point going forward. Now they made a fatal mistake. And we see that fatal mistake in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Page 1699. And in that second chapter of 1 Corinthians, go to verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. There they come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the political power that they have and the influence that they had, if they would have known, they would not have crucified, they would not have seen to it that Christ was crucified. They would never have done it. They were interested in these things. They seemed to have some interest. They knew something. We see that in 1 Peter. Turn to page 1856, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I got to apologize for running you around so much this morning, but I think it's always important to see where that these things are. All subjects in Scripture run throughout, and you have to look at the whole picture of what's laid out for us in Scripture sometimes to find these bits of information that we need to know are all over the place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. So these angels were aware of what was being prophesied. They had a purpose. They were a part. They were interested in these things. But like you and I, they had a free will. They believed in God, but they didn't necessarily believe God. They had their own mind about things. And not knowing some of these things and not believing God, they sealed their doom, not by an exhibition of power as Christ over death, but by death itself. Some of them were trapped in death. Some of them took on the form of men and died or are now reserved into judgment. And you say, okay, how does this relate? How does all of this have anything to do with the church of the one body in Christ? Well, we find in Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll back up to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, it's on page 1764 in your companion Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. And in verse 9 he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. This is Paul's ministry. This is what he's been charged to do, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. But now in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So that's the purpose of Paul's ministry, that the manifold wisdom of God might be presented. These principalities and powers, they knew a lot of things, but they didn't know anything about what was revealed by Paul once he began to write the book of Ephesians, because that was hid from the beginning. God never revealed what was to be involved in the heavenly calling. These principalities and powers, they had no earthly idea that God's purpose and plan included the heavens. They only thought that it had to do with the kingdom and the nation of Israel and man and physical things, not knowing that God's purpose was heavenly as well. And therefore, some of those principalities and powers left with Satan. But there are still principalities and powers there in the heavenly places that believe God. So today, we wrestle against principalities and powers of this world who have tremendous influence. But in the new scheme of things, in the new creatures, in the new creation of heaven and earth, there will be one and only one principality that will be recognized by God. And that is Christ as the head, the firstborn from the dead, In all things he will have preeminence. Completeness in power and authority. Where he is all in all. And we saw where those principalities and powers that exist will have no power in the future. Only Christ. And the great purpose of the ages will finally be complete, where God is all in all and have all power and authority and everything else placed underneath him. Now, the purpose of the lesson was to run through all those verses and show you that these things, whatever they are, definitely exist. They were before us. They are with us. And they will be there after us, but they, like us, will be placed under the authority where God and Christ, where Christ is all in all. Don't sell them short. They have great influence today, subtle as it may be, to blind the eyes and keep us from understanding and viewing and seeing the glory of Christ and the glory of God in the scriptures that he has provided for us. Trying to deviate us and keep us off of this message that is to be made manifold, this manifold witness of God that is going to be revealed to them in the heavenly places when Christ returns and takes the church of the one body with him into glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the written word that you've given to us. Grateful for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to give us open hearts and minds that we may understand your plan and purpose for the ages and how we are included in that. We're so thankful for the salvation that we do have through Christ and the fact that he loved us and gave himself for us that we might have hope for the future. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen.